Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about, the acting nonsense in the world, what's taught, the classes. It's going to be a bit of a rant. Oh, I will explain. After 37 years of teaching, because I actually do care about what I do. I mean, I do think that what I am, my essence, is a teacher because, as some of you may know, I come from a family of teachers, and my father was a teacher from about 18 years of age till he was in his 90s. So, this is just part of, what I think I was born to do is to be some sort of teacher. I mean, and then I, of course, make a go at the industry and acting and writing and all the other things. When I look at teaching and when I look at the state of what is taught, it affects me differently. It really, really does, because... because I really care about it. What can I say? I mean, I fancy myself someone who really cares about what he does. And, I've written a book about it, about my particular findings of what all of my experiments in life, teaching and running the theater and having a TV show and just all my experience has told me about the best way for actors to approach their work and how what has been taught has been a lot of really great stuff, back in the old days. But so were many things back in the old days. But, times change. And so in my quest to kind of stamp out not just, teaching that I don't like, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. So I'm going to go over some things today and, hold on tight. I'm going to end up talking about some other things as well. It's going to fold right into this. But honestly, it was because I teach at a facility where, there are other groups going on there. And I happened to walk past a doorway. And I have no idea. I don't even know if, what the deal is, what the approach is here. I don't know. So really what the image I saw, what it did was it sparked a feeling. And so here's the image. The image was two actors facing each other to the point that their knees were touching, if not almost inside each other, because they were so close. They were on little stools, and they were so close, so what does that put their faces maybe, less than 2 feet, right? You got your knees, and then you're kind of really tight, and we're right there. And I think they're also leaned in. I just saw that image, and I walked past it. You know what it did? It reminded me. It reminded me of all of the, just the overdone in the sun nonsense about acting and these ideas. I know that, these teachers that teach this, or these types of this type of lunacy that I'm going to talk about today, they don't do it maliciously. Of course they don't. I mean, they're not out to try and corrupt actors with nonsense. It's just if there's any frustration here, it's not really at the teachers. It's this way of thinking. I mean, if we're doing an exercise, and it has to be an exercise, right, folks? Because this isn't how most people communicate. We don't sit down and say, okay, come on, lock knees. Okay, stare at my head. No, of course not. This is an exercise. So then I say, okay, what is the exercise a solution to? What? What are we? Do we have ADD? Is that it? The problem, you see, with the presumption that the actors need to go through these exercises, whether they be this starey, heart-to-heart, talky-talky, focus thing, or the repeat exercise, I don't get it. What is our affliction? You see, as soon as you sit actors in chairs and you tell them that we got to get back to basics to this degree, you see, then I wonder, what are you basically secretly telling them? You're telling them that they can't do this. That if I just gave you the task, the focus to talk about something, to go at someone about something, to, you know, win, to whatever it is in life. And here's, it's communication. It's not taking place on another planet. This is the stuff you work on every day. I'm sure many of you fancy yourselves pretty good negotiators, talkers, arguers, you know, idea presenters. I'm sure many of you feel that way. I'm sure many of you, you know, fancy yourself someone that you would trust to take into most situations, right? Ergo, you go out of the house every day. Now, to you agoraphobics, I don't know. I don't know what to say to you. You know, I'm sorry you're struggling with something that might be giving you some grief, but I don't think you're wanting to be a movie star. So I don't really think I'm dealing with any of those right now, although an agoraphobic may very well be listening to this broadcast, you see. I don't have to head anything off because the chances of them going out to take an acting class are fairly slim. So the rest of you, you see, the rest of you do go outside. The rest of you do have confrontations every day. Now, if I put you in a class and I charge you money and I tell you, hey, no, man, you don't know how to communicate. No, not with the razor sharpness that you need to. You see, what I'm going to do then is in the guise of getting your machinery lined up and, you know, kind of dialed in and calibrated, I'm going to show you what it's like to really communicate and really listen to people and really do you suffer from those problems? Okay, so you go to a class where they're going to break you down and they're going to tell you, we need to do these, you know, repeat exercises all day long. So you get to what point so that you can do what? Man, oh man, how do you go into a 7-Eleven and get what you need? That must be a struggle for you. How do you, you know, ask for stuff and order food and, you know, complain about something you need corrected? How do you do any of this stuff? My heart goes out to you, man. I guess then it's good that you're in these classes so you can kind of relearn what it's like to, or learn perhaps for the first time, what it's like to actually stand up for yourself, say things, present an idea, correct someone, you know, because apparently you've never done this. You know, you're a replicant, I guess, and you just squeezed out of that tube with all that KY jelly all over you, whatever they put on those people in these movies. And you just like, you know, by day three, you can like walk and say simple words. Yeah, okay, then you know what? We need to do this repeat exercise because we got to get you ready. Otherwise, you're going to get shot immediately because, of course, replicants aren't allowed. So what is it? I don't get it. What is it about you that makes you think that if I say, hey, in no uncertain terms, you got to go over and talk to that person over there and you got to tell them what's what about this thing. You can't do that. No, you can't. Oh, but you can in life, but you can't for the screen. And why is that? Because you go to classes where they tell you, you got to know a lot of, you know, insane information before you dare try to portray something. This stuff is so dumb to me, man. And you know what? I got to tell you, it's dumb to most people who are in the business. Sure it is. That's why you hear the phrase. That's why famous actors will say, hey, don't go to classes. Whatever you do, don't go to classes. They're not talking. They're not saying, hey, don't go practice your craft. They're saying stay away from these dumb classes that make you sit 2 feet away from each other and, you know, I don't know what. And you know it's never going to work, right? You know why? Because you will always know you're in an exercise. And the point of the exercise is have a certain outcome. So you know what's going to happen because that's actually what the point of this is, you see? And that'll always transcend, supersede the idea of what's supposed to be happening in the scene. I need you to know I can't see you anymore. You got to stop that thing. Whatever this thing is I need to negotiate in this scene, well, that's going to fall second place to the primary purpose, and that is, first, now how will I know that? How will I, you know, how about me just forgetting that that's the primary? How are you going to do that? You're sitting uncomfortably close to someone in a way that you normally don't. And, you know, you're sitting there face to face in this awkward positioning It's always going to be present in your mind. So you're always going to be sitting on your shoulder. Yeah, yeah, okay, you're getting into it. That's it. Just lose it. Man, just fall right in. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. You're doing. No, you're not doing it. No, you fell out a little bit because you're hearing my voice. So just, shh, I'll speak quieter. But just do the exercise. The exercise. What do you think happens? You just suddenly come out of it. Is that it? Is that the nirvana we're looking for? Suddenly, after 3 minutes, you just kind of, God, the scene's over. And you just kind of look around like, wow, man, I don't even know what's going on, man. I thought we were like in our kitchen talking, and I just like, wow, and now I'm here. You know, really? You see, it's this kind of nonsense that actors think is what's going to happen. You're going to lose your, like, right here consciousness, and it's going to go to this place where we become characters. I don't know how much more clearly I can make this, you know, and I'm going to keep going at it, like taking body shots at the sensibility, which, you know, of the world, to make people think, to stop and think about it. What do we get by breaking scenes down into acting stuff? I'm keep asking that question because there's no good answer for it, you see. Because I got an answer for every answer you come up with. What do we gain? And the second question, its companion question would be, why don't we just talk about everything as if it's just a real life situation and we address all the issues like they're real life and we kind of speak in that kind of certainty? And discuss the history and the present scene and what's happening tomorrow exactly the way we would if this thing were actually happening. I don't understand where actors think by breaking it into acting, it's the way to go. It is the exact thing that we don't want people to see us doing. The very thing you don't want people to catch you doing is the exercise you use to try and do the thing you're doing. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't seem, yeah, let me question this maybe just for a second. You know, every so often, I know, I sense it, you know, even though I'm an older cat and, you know, I have won some medals in my life and accomplished a few things. I will run into these people. They're usually younger, and they'll hear what I do, or, you know, they may hear a lecture, and I'll feel their nose just go right up, you see, because they do this stuff. They do these exercises. And they, so what really confounds me, and I know I've brought it up here before, but okay, so you've never done anything. You've never accomplished anything. You've never worked. You've latched onto these ideas for whatever reason I can't even imagine, and you study at a place where your teacher, your coach, has never really succeeded in the industry. I find that fascinating. You know, I think that if you haven't done anything yet, just shut up. Just shut up, man. You don't get to have an opinion yet. You don't. You don't. Because, you see, this acting stuff is all, you know, airy-fairy stuff. It's like, it's all theory. And a person could say one thing and then you get up to work and you never do it. I mean, man, the pudding is in the proof. That's just the way it is. So until you actually have points on the board, you need to shut up. You don't necessarily know what you're talking about. Now, why do I stress this? Because I just wish you would just shut up. No, a little bit, but no. No, it's because it'll always get in the way of your growth. Why? Well, because that kind of attitude implies that you got it, you know, figured out. That you know what is. No, it's all an experiment until you start working. And then do that again and again. Not just one or two flukies. That's when it counts. Up until then, shh. It's going to get in the way of your growth, man. Because you see, you're going to assume you got it. And then you're going to stop questioning things. And you're going to stop wondering why. And you're going to stop looking for perhaps a more efficient way for you to work, for you to get the job done. You're going to stop listening to that inner voice that's saying, this is ridiculous, it's not working, I feel uncomfortable. You're not going to listen to that voice anymore, you see, because you've got this arrogance of supposed knowledge. That's the danger. Hey, listen, I don't have a problem with people, you know, thinking, oh my God, this is blasphemy what you do, Jeff. How dare you? I don't care about that shit. Because like I said, the pudding is in the proof, right? So, you know, you come watch the actors in my classes all day long, man. You know, I've been around. I've seen stuff. These people are entertaining. There's nothing boring about sitting in this class. These, you know, these are a fine group of people. Now, it might be coincidental that they've all happened to come and drink at my trough, but I'd like to think there's a sensibility about the studio that brings the best out in people. And we don't, you know, do any of this acting nonsense, man. Obviously, as you could tell from, you know, my tirade today. No, and I am saying to you people, you've really got to listen to your heart. You know, most of the people that I convert, they're always telling me their stories about, you know, I just felt like it wasn't really working, you know, and I'm just, you know, but everyone else in the class is doing it. So I kind of felt, you know, and they do this for a few years, 5, 10 sometimes. I arrived at this type of thinking not because I had the answers when I was a kid. I just knew that there were answers that needed to be had. Because the stuff that I was doing, I knew in my heart wasn't working. I knew this way that I'd been trained wasn't as efficient as it could be. And so I've spent my life trying to develop what I thought was the most honest, authentic way to approach the work. And I would never want to be so arrogant with my thoughts or so you know, confident in that this being the only way that I would stop growing. So, you know, I've always been kind of looking for what's the better tool, what's the better way to do it, and then modify as necessary. But I feel that the approach, basically what I've done over the years, is just try and continue to throw things out that weren't necessary. I just think that's the best way to get to the purest art you can do, is let's throw out of the knapsack all the things we don't need. Let's be as unencumbered as possible with, you know, obligations as far as the things that we felt we needed to do while we were doing our art. Because it would only make sense. The less obligations I would have while then doing my art, the more opportunity I would have to then allow myself to create this art more honestly and in the moment, which obviously is what all actors wish they could do, or certainly have it look that way, right? So, you know, my theories about why all the old school acting just needs to be thrown out is it brings too much attention to the mechanics of acting. I don't care what you say. You say, no, no, no. I break it into beats. I figure out all my action verbs. You know, I have my inner monologue. I know the animal I'm playing, you know, and I'm playing the opposites every third beat. And I have this stuff. I have all of this stuff worked out. But no, I throw it away. And then it's just in me bones. And I just like, rawr, I just do it. And I don't even know I'm doing it anymore. Really? Come on, man. You know, see, this is the mutterings of people that don't work. Are there people in the industry that do this and work? Probably. Man, there's a lot of people in the industry, right? I don't know any of them. I don't know. I've only been in the business, though, for 38 years. So it's not like, you know, I've met everybody. But I've met a lot of people, and if they do, they don't admit to it. We are never going to become more authentic actors by focusing on acting. That's my basic idea, right? And I'll prove it to you over and over again. I don't mean to throw an industry out the window, but I think the way that it is structured right now needs to go out the window. We certainly need acting classes all over the place, but I think that we need to get with the times, man, because this is just like one of those hamster wheels, you know, You know, it goes around and around, and the hamster gets his exercise, and the wheel goes around and around. That's kind of what I see these classes at, because that's what happens, you see? Because if I keep making you draw attention to your acting, you're always going to be muck and mired in this self-aware nonsense. Like these classes that have you go work on your scene and then bring it in. You're always going to be thinking about doing it correctly, you know, the shape of the scene, how it comes out, when you put your this down, when you do that. You've worked on all of this stuff, and now you bring it in. And stop with this myth that you throw it away. You don't throw anything away. It doesn't get thrown away. You worked it out of your house with your buddy Ben. Now you're in class. You brought all your props. You're wearing all your little outfits you went to Value Village to buy, so you really look right in this class where you get to pretend like you're in the business, but you're not really, but you think you are because you had props and stuff. Maybe they even have lights. Oh, my God, look, it's almost real. It's just stupid. What are you doing? It's nonsense. And to what end? What is it? The only solution I see is that you get to pretend like you put on plays. I guess that's fabulous, but let's call it what it is. Because as far as you improving your acting, no, I think not. Because you see, you will always be bringing into a room an idea that you concocted in the hallway. This is not the way to improve your acting. It's a fun way to, you know, have a hobby and play with your friends and play dress up. But you're never going to get out of your head, man, because you're always going to be sitting there. Because you know what you've done? You have made the performance of the scene more important than the human elements your character in the scene would be tending to. We stop thinking about acting. We stop worrying about trying to carve out acting performances. There is nothing as authentic as understanding a point of view, understanding your argument, owning it, walking in and arguing it, winning, getting what you want, but making that more important than acting every time. It's such a simple solution. Commitment. You know, there's nothing you need to warm up for. There's nothing you need to get ready for. There's nothing. When you know how you feel about something in life, a door opens, you confront it, you're ready to go every single time. Look at that power we have. Look at the power we have to put our minds where we want it to be, whenever we want it to be there, and keep it there. Now, I'm not talking about acting, because I know a lot of you people struggle with this, and it's because of these silly classes where they've made you focus on other things and they've convinced you, no, you got to do this because you're never going to be able to do that. Now you're kind of in this, you're on your heels. You see, you've been knocked back and you're thinking, okay, listen, I got to learn how to focus. Okay, I'm going to repeat what you say here for 4 hours until I have figured out how to communicate in a way that is really, you know, quick and authentic and just, you know, inspired in the moment. But we're going to do this damn exercise all day long. Like what? We're stroke victims? I don't get it. What are we doing with this nonsense? I keep asking you. You don't know how to communicate? You don't know how to state your case? You don't know how to argue with people? You don't know how to get what you want? You don't, huh? What do you do all day long? Stare at a white wall? What do you do? Since you first cried for your mommy's milk, you have been improving on your methods of getting what you want your entire life, of expressing what you need your entire life. It started with you crying for mommy's milk. So why do you have to go back to the remedial class to learn how to communicate with people? I don't get it. This doesn't seem simple to you people listening. Hey, I'm not saying there isn't a lot to do. But my a lot to do has more to do with what real people think about and how real people approach problems and what drama is and comedy is and a lot of other, you know, useful information. Jeez, you know, as soon as I get you thinking, well, break that down into beats. You got a little apprehension. God, I don't know. I feel like I'm being tested. Okay, I hope I break my beats right. Let me see. If I don't get them right, then my beats will be off. No, I won't be able to do the scene. Okay, I got like action verbs for every other line. I wonder if I should have action verbs for every line. I mean, I know that Jimmy does. he's really good with his action verbs. Every line he has an action verb. How does he do it? What is this game? What is this stupidity? What does that have to do with anything? It doesn't sound stupid to you? Or some of you right there, you damn right, man. Usually I have two action verbs per line. I do one and then halfway through, bang. Are you working? A lot? Like in the real world? I believe this stuff robs actors of their power. See, I want the assumption to be when I'm working with an actor that you're going to know how to deliver what I'm asking for. I'm not going to have to take you back to kindergarten to show you how to, you know, this is A, this is B, and 2 + 2 = what? Who knows? Come on. Listen, there's just too much nonsense going on in these scenes. The way then they intimidate actors, and then, you know, it's like these dysfunctional relationships, and my God, man. This business is unwieldy enough. I think if you're going to go somewhere and pay for the privilege, you shouldn't go somewhere where you're just constantly confused, knocked back on your heels, and demeaned. And if that is what you're doing, well, I hope you like it. But listen, I don't think that's going to be a quicker way to get where you're going. I think just the opposite. I think you've kind of just walked into a quicksand pit voluntarily. And you'll be there maybe for 5 years. Because you'll keep coming back until you can make sense of something that just doesn't make any sense, and you know it in your gut. And for those of you that are having a problem with this right now, I'm just going to keep asking you to think about something. You working much? Do you work much? And I mean much. I don't mean a little. I mean much. I mean like, you know, with some kind of consistency. So, you know, if I'm right and you haven't, then here's what I'm going to suggest. Stop assuming that whatever it is you're doing, whatever this nonsensory is that you're doing, stop assuming that it's the, you know, road to where you're going. Just stop assuming it. Just relax your grip on it all a little bit. And really, really be honest with yourself about how you feel when you do the stuff. And whether or not you're telling yourself, it's not working, but it must be me. I hear it takes a while. You know, I'm not good at it. Other people are. Other people do it. I heard once, you know, Billy Jack did it, and look at him, you know. No, I'm saying just ask yourself, is it working? Do you feel good? Are you improving? And then finally, are you working as an actor in the industry? Until that happens, you need to question every single thing you're doing with regard to your acting training, everything, really. You know, the pictures you have, the agency you're with. You've got to listen to your gut. That's all. You know, I get this all the time. You know, I see this all the time in classes where, depending on where the actors come from, I can see kind of a quality in them. The quality I see where I see that their training has been perhaps most detrimental is in when I'm watching the actors act, I'll see these like staresies. I'll see the actor kind of, when they're not speaking, or even when they're speaking, they're looking and, you know, and they're saying their stuff and they're looking right at the other actor. But there is this quality where I know that a percentage of their conscience is watching them. And the actors who've had, I think, the worst kind of training have a larger percentage. And it's like the staresies. They're there. A lot of times their hands will be out. They'll have moved their hands up to a position, and then they'll just be standing there with their hands in that position. And I will know that, oh my goodness, you see, you've forgotten that you're standing there like that because you're so busy thinking about what you just did, about what you're going to do next, about how your performance is about, was it as good as it was in the kitchen last night when you practiced it, or in the car, or in the hallway, or wherever it was? You know, are you up to snuff? Is this stuff working? Of course, all these thoughts that a human being doesn't. Now, human beings sit there and assess. I'm having an argument with you. I might quickly flash on, you know, how's it going and this and that. Of course, you know, I get that. But it's a different thing. And I guarantee you more of it is about me listening to you to figure out just exactly what I'm going to do next. And I absolutely, you know, I have more in this in real life because the consequences are real. They're good. They're forever. It's not just another scene we're going to take again. So, yeah, we have more of an investment in real life when we're doing these things. So while we may be watching the situation, it's not for performance's sake. It's really more about, am I getting it? Are they getting me? You know, am I being resisted right now? Is she on to me? You know, all of this stuff that bears greater weight and, of course, is more what we want to see in actors when we're watching them act. I can't tell you how many times I say in class, you see, look at the difference there. If you guys just know what you're talking about and make a simple decision, this is what's happening right now. The stuff takes care of itself. Every time you do it, it's a little different. Each one is wonderful. But what's really happening is your need to get the information out, to get the information you need, you know, the things that people do, what's important to people, you are simply making those things important to you. As soon as you start marionetting yourself, as soon as you start being the puppeteer, and that's where I call it, because, you know, you're pulling strings in accordance with ideas you had, right? So I'm going to do this. I'm going to kind of laugh here. And then, you know, that was my plan. And then I'll kind of look up real quick. And you see, I'm pulling these little strings. And again, if you say, no, I get to the point where I throw it all away. Shut up. You don't throw anything away. If you've made plans, you're going to try and do them. I had an actor in the class, a wonderful guy. I think I might had been his first teacher, but he's been doing really well. He came from a different field, and he's been a very, very bright student, you know, really listens, really tries, puts it all, and he's managed to get some work in television. So I'm very happy for him. So I build him up like this because I want to say, here's a bright guy. You know, this is a fellow who, you know, thinks things through. And his question was, he wants to work on, you know, after class last night, was he says he just feels a little stiff. You know, I just feel a little stiff. My first thing is to him, you know, you don't seem stiff in life at all. And he said, I'm not. I said, okay, then there you go. The way to make that go away is you have to stop thinking about it, right? But you can't just not think about it. You have to think of something else. You have to fill that void. You have to take that space up with something that you've decided to put your mind on that's actually more important than that, right? Because like a lot of things would be, wouldn't they? Like perhaps the point of the scene. So you see the magic of getting out of that, of not being stiff, and I'll always come back to the book of life. And that is in life, when we're not encountering similar stiffness, we are not, because we are immersed in the thing we're talking about. We're putting more emphasis, importance, care on what we're doing, talking, discussing, conversing about. These things are more important to us than me thinking about the state of my body, my hands, and where they are. That's how it works in life. Now, if you stop, think about it, you'll know I'm right, of course. Because some of you that are even a little awkward in public, if suddenly you found that an hour went by and you weren't even hadn't thought about your body for a while because maybe the person you're talking with makes you comfortable or you were in a comfortable situation or it was a comfortable subject for you and you lost yourself, you would have to agree that it was because, well, you were immersed in what you were talking about. So then a person might say, an actor might say, yeah, but see, that's the hard problem. I can't put my mind where, you know, I can't do that. I keep thinking, well, listen, get a hold of yourself. There's no trick for it. Stop doing it. I mean, you know what? You want to be an actor? Grow up. You got to do it. You simply put your focus where it needs to be. And then if you say to me, well, I try. I said, well, try harder. You know, at the end of the day, the magic of acting and being able to do really everything to do with acting, working on sets, every single little thing you could imagine is your ability to put your mind where you need it to be, to to put your attention, your focus where you need it to be. Hard? Yeah, for some people. I've seen some people who are just gifted at it. They just come in, bang. They just do their thing. It's like, Jesus, you know, how'd you do that? They just, you know. Well, because in life, it's nothing for us. Right? In life, it's nothing. You people care about stuff. You go, well, I couldn't help it. Yeah, of course you could. What are you talking about? I had to do that. I had to scream. Well, not everybody would have done that in that same situation. No. It's just that you have decided that certain things are important to you. Certain things deserve your focus. You may say, I couldn't help it, man. I had to say something. Well, no, you didn't. What are you talking about? There's a guy standing right beside you. He didn't say something. You know, people say, and you've heard me say, you know, boy, Bill did that thing and he made me so mad. No, Bill did a thing. You decided to be mad about it. Now, this just really has to do with life mastery. But you see, when I keep talking about the real life factor and the book of life, I keep bringing it back to, well, it seems simple to me that if we want to be authentic and we really want to, you know, present the idea that these things that we discuss, these are actually important to us in the scene, people watching us. We're so authentic. For all intents and purposes, whatever it is I'm having a problem with, I'm having a problem with it. I'm not acting at it, right? I want to blur that line, okay? Well, I keep bringing it back to this idea. Let's simply decide that's what's happening for that moment. Well, you think, well, that's delusional. Is it? That's our job. And I don't mean forever. I mean between action and cut. That's all. Be delusional between those two moments. And if you are, we don't call it delusional. We call it fine acting. So what? You people care about new things every day. Nobody puts a gun at your head and say, care about that over there.
Okay, I will.
No, you read an article, you think, oh, that's terrible. You read this thing, oh, that's great. You just make decisions. You're powerful. You can do whatever you want. But you see, as soon as you start going to classes where I've got to like retrain you how to really be in touch with your instrument so that you can actually convey the presence of anxiety, you know, this stuff is like telling you that the stuff that you do all the time, you can do. Now, listen, does this mean that, oh, then now everyone's an actor? No, not at all. They're still training. But let's not waste our time training stuff that's nonsense that you're going to throw away and regret that you ever did when you finally do start working, if you ever do. I'm talking to all those people out there that at one moment or another ever had a little voice go off and say, I think this stuff's stupid. I feel uncomfortable. I don't think this works. This is awkward. That doesn't make sense. I don't understand that book. I don't really know what we're doing here. I don't seem to be improving. You know, whatever it is, I just want you to listen to that voice. And if you hear it, just keep exploring. Just keep looking out. Look for other ways. You don't have to come to me. I think it would be a smart choice, obviously. I wouldn't have this podcast otherwise. But I'd rather see you at least start to listen to your own heart. Because let me tell you something else. Even if you don't leave that space, the fact that you've said, hey, all of this ain't necessarily so, you'll be opening your heart and mind up. And perhaps just that alone will cause you to be a better, more intuitive actor, even if you stay in that same environment. But I'm just saying that, you know, people that clutch too tightly to things, to a almost like a cultish way, I don't think that's a great way to be if you're an artist. That's today's rant. You got anything to say about it? Send me an email. I'm still looking for questions to answer. What do you people do all day long? Just listen to podcasts and eat bonbons? Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Please remember to follow us on Podomatic or subscribe on iTunes. If you want to know anything else about the Real Life Actor approach, you can always go to reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.